on the vastness of heart. Of course, it is not just aging, but it is also more than just learning. Some say, lean into the discomfort. Others, don't try, go all the way. It is all about building ourselves, layer by layer. The layers need not always be on the same subject. You may start an artist, or a dreamer, or a mechanic, and then move to urban explorer, photographer, and islander. The steps we take are slightly different from what we take away. An artist learns the harmony of colors, the strange simplicity of desaturating colors by mixing opposites. The dreamer learns that a dream is not just a dream, because if you snag on it and carry it all out, it will become true. The mechanic learns about a screw. If you tighten it too much, you will ruin it irreparably. The urban explorer learns that the attorney that left his stuff behind was always suffering and died alone. The photographer learns that it is the journey, and the photo is a mere bookmark of those memories. And the islander, oh, the islander, finally, when the golden age of wisdom and endless aches and grunts come, the islander learns that life is to be lived fully. And what that means is that we take what we learned from the day before, mix it with today, and get it ready to mix it with tomorrow. Like a waterfall that runs into the ocean, the new things we learn add to the body of the old. With old age being a privilege denied to so many, the treasure we carry truly becomes magnificent as we move forth. We can't learn all at once, and we can't fully learn through synthetic means. At schools, the curriculum is so warped it can only be dishonestly memorized. Audiobooks and lectures go a long way, so as long as you make room for the lessons within. Education requires room. Here, there can be no stress from grades, no craziness for a high GPA, brand name education, and the promise of a job. We need life. We need the full thickness of life. And then an urge to study will emerge. That thick life will move us. It will uncover an absence of knowledge, and it will feel great to fill it right up with precisely 14 books on the subject. A synthetic education born from being forced to learn is a very poor education indeed. Memorization is not education at all. It's actually dangerous and kind of stupid. And networking with grads from a brand name university to get stuff done has nothing to do with getting educated. It's a service trading club. Learning from books, whilst walking a huge trail filled with bobcats and mountain lions, is far superior of a teacher than anything claiming to educate today. And one of the best things about books is that they make mistakes, sometimes. Their authors get so inspired that their ideas sometimes take off and fly in the sky. And when you catch a famous author on such a flight of fancy, you learn even more. You learn about excellence and how useless and desperate and childlike book critics are. Medical schools are not an exception here. Textbooks are important, practice even more, but so is healing a person on the inside, within their mind. We can all imagine an excellent doctor, extremely professional, perfect grades, well-read, awesome person all around, no complaints. And we can imagine what it is like to suffer without hope, and seeing this kind individual just move on to the next patient. See, being a perfect doctor is a lot, but it's not enough. The surgery is not over when the procedure is done. And people can't tell when someone merely follows etiquette and merely pops in for a moment to say something nice and be done with it. Be it a doctor, scientist, musician, artist, dreamer, adventurer, rebel, even beloved professor, more is needed. Greatness of heart is a really good start. But I think the golden standard of life and art is vastness of heart. There's no describing it. But these beautiful beings smile and laugh no matter the weather. And when they speak, they seem to be part of cosmos, not just Earth. A mechanic who borrows from his work for purposes of wisdom will hold up a screw and say, "In order for this important piece of the system to do its job, you have to know when too much of tightening the screw will damage it." This is a good example of what we see in schools. Elementary is a dream. Middle school kind of works, but creating high school by just making subjects more demanding is insane. The screw is tightened, damaged, and now it cannot be repaired. At the very least, we must help the children to create startups, to work together on building 3D printed inventions, learning Linux, and coming up with new stuff, and help them set up a way of charging customers and a way of advertising products and wipe their fears of poverty permanently. The kids are always smarter than us. They build on top of what we have built. We are not giving them the tools for their future. We teach pure trigonometry, and this cannot be dumber. Because to teach trigonometry, all the teacher has to do is create a class about building games that get published to Steam, kind of a game store. What a teacher may not do is force-feed pure triangle abstract garbage to people who don't have an interest in it. It's not hormones, and no one should ever say that. Students simply stop listening when they figure out the teachers are selling them out for a paycheck. And they know it too. Dreamers. Dreamers are my favorite. Here is someone who sits down and thinks up the following. If I was born on a different continent to a different religion, I would be asked to worship that other god that I'm told is false. Furthermore, and you know there's always a furthermore, that's part of the reason why they cannot be stopped. Aren't we all atheists to all the other gods? And just when you think she was done with it, she adds, "Why don't we go the extra step and love all life, all wisdom, all good ideas, and all human beings?" And the next thing you know, you realize she was never a dreamer. Nor was she ever little. She's a philosopher. To tell children that there exists a group of universal beings that dedicate their lives and immortality to wisdom and passing it on to all the future generations is to help them grow from the highest of mountains. And the urban explorer, they see homes after the families have gone. They see pictures and smiles and forgotten hopes. They see passage of time. They see the motion of generation upon generation. They can see the homes as they were on Christmas, and they can read the medical bills scattered in the corner. These so-called scoundrels, often chased away like dogs, are working on wording a lesson that they hope to voice someday, somehow. Maybe come their golden age, as Guggenheim shows their works, they will speak of leaving bad ideas behind and sharing in all the good ones for humanity to converge on wisdom. How truly precious all our daily chores, how it is these little ordinary moments that add to create almost all our lives. There are no ordinary moments, as Dan Millman says. Layer by layer, and the sequence will come deep from within the heart, and it will reveal itself by means of curiosity. When a day comes and you find yourself looking out the window with more pleasure than writing games or interactive fiction or managing your corporation or putting out fire tornadoes, deep from within your heart, a new curiosity calls to you. And it can only make you better, better at what you do, help you climb higher than the height you are on right now. You don't have to switch careers, but you do need to throw a loaf of bread into your backpack and hit the trail. If you are out east, section hike the Appalachian Trail. If you are out west, then hike the Pacific Crest Trail. If you are out in the Pacific, then set off for the Kalalau on the island of Kauai. Bring your audiobooks and make no mistake, because the end of that trail marks only the beginning of your new adventure. Remember the aim, my friends. Vastness of heart.